This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
To my favorite murder,
the minisode.
Quit it. The whole time we do that.
Just speak at the same time, but we're guessing. Mm-hmm. I bet we could do it.
Yeah. Let's not. Let's do it.
No, let's not.
No, let's not. I turned it around on you. Okay, this is the read you shit. Here we go. Karen.
Are you ready?
Karen, do you want to go first?
Hey, do you want me to go first?
I'd love, yes, please go
Would
first.
You love it if I went first is the way I should have asked?
Yeah.
Would you love this? The subject line of this is dispatchers help catch a murderer on the run.
Yeah.
Dear Karen, Georgia, Stephen, and colleagues. Mm. I love it. Mm-hmm. I was a dispatcher in a local city for about 10 years. During that time, we took so many crazy calls, but one really sticks out for me. A woman had been killed, execution style, in the parking lot of an apartment complex by her estranged boyfriend.
Oy vey.
This happened overnight, and her boyfriend fled the scene and went to another city. He ended up calling our dispatch center and was playing the concerned boyfriend card, asking about her status. Fucking apparently, he didn't know that she actually died. Out of nowhere, I just came up with an idea to tell him that I couldn't release any information on her medical condition, but I would transfer him to the hospital where she was and let him to speak to the nurse in charge. I placed him on hold and told my fellow dispatcher to be the charge nurse.
Can you do, is this legal?
Who knows? And I would transfer this guy to him. Uh-huh. I think first, if you start by murdering your girlfriend.
Right, right. How about if you call 911, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah. Be warned.
Right.
Okay. My fellow dispatcher did a fucking amazing job of getting information from this guy and convinced him to come back to our city to see his girlfriend in the hospital. Mm-hmm. The other dispatcher working that night was my best friend, and she was coordinating our responses. To make a very long story short, we had our officers waiting for him at the hospital, and he was arrested.
Wow.
We got commendations from our lieutenant for the quick thinking and the work we put in that night. So yeah, it's legal. It was such a great feeling knowing we had a small part in getting this guy off the streets. I'm no longer in law enforcement, and I don't know what happened to that guy in court, but it's still one of my proudest moments. Stay sexy and don't be an idiot murderer and an overall shitty person.
That's our new tagline.
It's time for a change. Stay sexy and don't be an idiot murderer and an overall shitty person. Thanks for all you guys do, Amy.
Wow, that's incredible.
That's the best.
Good job. Are you good at, like, if someone's like, pretend to be this? I couldn't do it.
I guess it just depends. I mean, like, I think I'd be okay at it, but I have that thing where, like, even if it was something just like a real life thing, mm-hmm. like, I'd want to be a really good, I would want people to think I did good acting, and then I'd overthink it and be bad.
Overdo it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just can't, I would start giggling even if it was serious, because I just can't do shit like that. Okay. This one's a little long, so I'm going to go first with it. Reason 101 why you shouldn't ever scare the shit of your out of your grandma.
Mm.
Lighthearted. Hi, KGS and Fur. So back in the day, you hate it. So back in the day, ever since I can remember, my sister and I loved to hide and jump out and scare the shit out of our grandma. God rest her soul.
Yes.
And before being judged, she would do the same to us.
Yes.
Fuck yeah, grandma.
Oh my God.
I know. So very weird. However, it was just one of the many crazy things we did with our grandma, since she was quite the character. One day, my sister was at my grandma's house waiting for her to get dropped off by my mom. She had been in the front of the house and had come to the back, where she heard my grandma fumbling with her key in the lock at the door. She then got the fantastic idea, you guessed it, to scare the shit out of my grandma. She crept as quietly as she could, grabbed the inside door handle, and even bent over at the waist so she could be eye level with her and get her real good. Then, as swiftly as she could, she turned the handle really fast, threw the door open, and still crouched, screamed at the top of her lungs, "Boo!" However, to her ever-living fucking horror, it was not my grandmother.
Oh.
It was a creepy man with a screwdriver that was trying to pick the lock.
Oh, fuck!
I don't know how old the sister was, but I'm picturing
she's
7,
a drop-off
9,
age.
Yeah.
10?
Yeah, 11.
They were
literally an inch away from each other, and mind you, face to face, since he was bent over hard at work breaking into the door to get into the damn house. She said they both froze for what seemed like 5 minutes, but was probably, but in all probability, about 5 seconds. He was so shocked and equally horrified that this crazy bitch screamed boo in his face that he dropped the screwdriver, fell backwards, couldn't get it fast enough because he kept tripping, and took off around the corner of the house and down the driveway in a mad dash. My sister was so shaken up, obviously, that it took her several minutes to move, close the door and lock it, and dial the rotary phone for help. Yes, we're old.
Yes.
We shudder to think what could have happened. Too many ways this fucking story could have ended, and I could be telling y'all about it in an entirely different way. We never found out who it was or caught him, but we also wonder if this could have possibly been his fucking wake-up call to never try that again.
Yeah.
Lesson learned from the boo screaming bitch, my sister. Can't wait to see you guys in Houston in May. Stay sexy, and for God's sake, don't fucking play such a terrifying game of scaring the shit out of your grandma ever. Thanks for everything y'all doing. Y'all rock. Susan.
Susan. That was amazing.
Yes.
I love, also, yeah, it's that, it's the argument of like, not every person breaking into your house is like brave and psychotic.
Right.
Some of them are just like desperate and scared as you are.
And
but that doesn't matter. Don't interact with them.
Yeah. Don't offer them coffee.
They're not better than you because they're breaking into your house.
Are they brave? No, they're terrified
too.
You're
as creepy as they are.
You're the bravest person we've ever met.
Go and the creepiest person.
Yeah.
Go creep somebody else out.
Go show them.
Yeah. But you take 2 screwdrivers with you.
Yeah.
Don't do any of this. Okay. I won't redo the subject line of this.
Okay.
I just learned something interesting tonight after playing board games for the evening with my parents, husband and son. I can't believe I'm learning this at 39. Apparently, when I was 2 years old, my dad was nearly arrested for robbing a bank. He was at a gas station when a police officer approached him and told him he had to accompany him for a trip to the police station. My dad is the most passive, kind elementary school teacher man on the planet. and gladly obliged. Once at the station, he was handed a few photographs and asked, "Who does this look like?" My sweet angel father laughed and said, "Well, that looks like me."
Oh my God.
What was the picture, you ask? It was a man robbing the local bank.
Oh.
My dad, of course, explained it wasn't him and then gave an alibi. Unfortunately, that alibi was nearly useless as he was getting a haircut at my great aunt's house.
Oh my God.
What made matters worse was they checked his bank accounts and it showed he'd just moved all of his funds to an out-of-state bank.
Dude.
You see, my mom, pregnant with my brother, and I had just moved to Tacoma, Washington, where we were waiting on my dad to wrap up his side business of family portraits in Idaho. So it looked like he had moved his family, closed his business, robbed a bank, and was leaving town to start over. In the end,
not
he was
a bad plan, really.
Right? In the end, he was only saved because he grew up with the judge that was asked to sign the warrant. And the judge laughed and said, "That's ridiculous. There's no way that could be Bill." Eventually, they did catch the real bank robber, thank goodness, because my dad was instructed not to leave town until it was resolved. He said he suffered some pretty sweaty palms for a while, but that it was all worth it for the cash. Dad jokes. Oh, dad jokes.
Yeah.
Stay sexy and don't tell the police you look like the bank robber, Rachel.
Well, that looks like me.
Why? Oh, I know the answer.
Oh, hey, isn't that weird? What's this all about, officer? Let's see here. I have 2 grandpa stories. Mm. Let's do this one.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com. Goodbye. If you're like me, you're always looking for a story to dive into. Whether it's a family drama or a mystery to solve, the key to getting hooked is the details. I need rich visuals and intricate storylines, and June's Journey has that and more. June's Journey is a mobile mystery game that follows June Parker, a daring young woman, on a quest to uncover the truth about her sister's murder. This is your chance to test your detective skills, because you'll play the game as June herself. Explore beautifully designed scenes from the 1920s, like lavish estates and gardens, and don't forget to keep an eye out for hidden clues. There are twists, turns, and catchy tunes, all leading you deeper into the thrilling storyline. And if you play well enough, you could make it to the Detective Club. There, you'll chat with other players and compete with or against them. June needs your help, but watch out, you never know which character might be a villain. Shocking family secrets will be revealed, but will you crack the case? Find out as you escape this world and dive into June's world of mystery, murder, and romance. It's all just one tap away. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey. Download the game for free on iOS and Android. Goodbye.
No, let's do this one. Hola, Karen, Georgia, Stephen, and fur friends. My name is Denora. And I'm originally from Puerto Rico, but I've been living in Nashville, Tennessee since 2010.
Hola.
Hola.
¿Qué tal?
My mom and I were leaving a Pilates class and listening to a minisode when she revealed that my paternal grandfather went to prison for murder.
Oh.
Back in the late 70s, my grandfather was a low-level drug dealer in Puerto Rico. And one day he noticed that a weird car had passed by his house a couple times. All of a sudden, the people from inside that car started shooting into my grandfather's house. Inside were my dad, his siblings, and his mom. Mm. My grandfather took a gun from his illegal gun stash and started shooting.
Yeah, I bet he did.
Unfortunately, he ended up killing an innocent bystander that was trying to shield himself from the gunfire.
Oh, God.
My grandfather ended up being charged with involuntary homicide because he refused to name the people who were shooting at him.
Well, but
holy,
that's
shit. Snitches get
smart. Yeah, that's
killed.
Right.
My grandfather ended up going to jail with serial murderers in La Princesa Prison, which is located inside the El Moro Fort in Puerto Rico. I'm sure it's a lovely place to summer.
Well, that's where they imprison all the princesses.
You know.
La Princesa.
He recounted the stories of how prisoners would murder each other and cut people in pieces and hide them in walls.
No! In prison?
Pieces of people in prison walls.
No.
So this is basically a murder and finding things in the wall story.
It's the worst one yet.
Yes. He did eventually get out through drug court and helped establish a drug rehabilitation program that, I'm sorry, I'm high on drugs. That is still going on today. Because he recovered and never committed a crime again, he got an official pardon from the governor of Puerto Rico. My grandfather died in 1995 due to liver cancer from his drug addict days.
Yeah.
I was 2 when he died, so I don't remember that much about him. So imagine my surprise when my mom revealed this to me while leaving a fucking Pilates class. I absolutely love the podcast and think y'all are hilarious. It's good to know I'm not the only person who finds murder interesting. SSDGM, Denora.
Denora, that was really good. God, that's sad. And then, like, there's redemption.
Yeah, you're up, you're down.
But that's that fucking thing about, like, you know, shooting.
The 70s.
Guns are bad and they kill innocent people.
That's right.
And that sucks. Okay. This one is simply entitled Weird Milk Boy.
I'm on board. I'm here for this.
Lighthearted. Hi, MFM crew. Once upon a night of chilling at my apartment after work, I heard a knock at my door. It was around 10:30 p.m. and I wasn't expecting anyone. I was too much of a couch potato at that point that I just stayed sitting and thought, they'll go away. After a few seconds, I heard another knock. This time it was louder. Internally grunting, I went to the door and looked through the people, vaguely recognizing this guy. I knew he had lived in the same apartment complex because we had once had a fire alarm go off at 3 a.m. and had walked down the hallway together. We probably exchanged a total of 5 words, though, and I didn't know his name or anything. I, for some reason, decided to open the door.
No.
He had an uncapped soda cup in his hand, filled with water, and he asked me, "Can I have some milk?"
What?
I replied with, and he said, "You can just fill half the cup." At this point, my heart was beating fast because, one, this is technically a complete stranger asking me for something weird. And two, it was somewhat late at night and I'm a small female who lives alone. At this point, I started panicking, thinking, what if he tries to break into my apartment? Or is he trying to scan my apartment so he can come attack me later? In any case, I grabbed the cup, closed my door, stupidly didn't lock it, poured out the water, poured in some milk, opened the door, handed it back to him. Then he smiled and walked away, and I never saw him again after that.
Oh my God.
I guess he just really needed some milk and I was the lucky target. I told the story to my coworkers, who ended up lecturing me on never opening doors for strangers, which I obviously know now. They also taunted me for a while, asking, "Hey, Mary, can I have some milk?" I'm the one doing that voice. I thought it was exactly like the fun way. I'm glad it ended the way it did, though. Mary.
Oh, Mary. Sweet, innocent Mary.
Stay sexy and don't give milk to strangers. Sorry, that was on the second page. Mary. I love that because, yeah, don't ever fucking open your door, no matter who it is.
I know, like, you think that's not a stranger because I've seen him before, but if you're a woman alone in an apartment, you don't need to answer the door to even, like, a friend who's a dude if it's late at night and there's no reason for them to be there.
No, not at all.
You know?
Yeah, and then if you think it's a situation where you're fine, definitely, if you're going to grab the cup, lock the door behind you.
But I feel like that's where the politeness, I get that, because that's where the politeness comes in.
Yes,
where you're like, I don't want to be rude and lock the door.
Yes.
So you don't, but, you know,
right.
Then you're fucked. So just don't even answer the door.
Well, and also there's a bit of a manipulation playing on that, like, neighborly, can I just borrow a cup of sugar thing, which is really weird. And, like, no, whatever you need milk for, you can have it in the morning.
Yeah, and who drinks milk anymore?
What? Listen. Kind of. Haven't you ever heard of lactaid?
Yeah. Non-dairy. Fucking everything. Okay. This one is called Grandpa Interrupts a Police Helicopter Chase. Hello, all. In the 80s, my grandparents, my mother, and her 3 siblings lived in a suburb of LA in a not-so-great area. My grandfather, a portly Syrian immigrant who loves scotch, was and is super paranoid about being murdered and was always rushing to the door to see what was going on with sirens and such.
Sure.
One summer evening, my mom and her siblings were swimming in their backyard pool when someone scales their fence and jumps into their backyard.
Ooh.
It's a woman who is seriously high and twitchy, and she stands there staring at them while they all tread water and wonder what the fuck to do.
Oh, no.
Then they hear sirens on the street and a fucking helicopter swoops over their neighborhood. Mom and her siblings run inside, soaking wet, and watch through the windows as the strange woman runs into the front yard. My mom says there are cops all over the street with guns drawn, and the trees around my house are literally whipping with the wind from the helicopter. It is at this point that my grandpa, in nothing but his very tight 1980s swim bottoms, walks into the front yard to see what's going on. He literally walked into a helicopter chase. My mom says that at least 10 cops, all with their guns pointing at him, started screaming, "Sir, go inside." My grandpa, not one to be told what to do on his own property,
that's right,
remained on the lawn until the woman had been tackled.
He's a taxpayer, goddammit.
This is my lawn.
I pay these property taxes.
That's right. To this day, we ask him what exactly he thought he was going to accomplish by walking into a guns drawn situation. And he always replies, "Goddammit, I had to see what was going on." Grandpa.
Scotch.
Stay sexy and don't interrupt helicopter chases, Liz.
God damn it.
I wanted to see what was going on. Send us your weird stories about your grandparents or helicopter chases or
milk
stories.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever happens. Tell us. We love it.
Can I have some milk?
My favorite murder at Gmail.
And stay sexy.
And don't get murdered.
Goodbye.
Elvis, you want a cookie?